Welcome to Why Am I Laughing? The podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben Harris. With me, as always, is my co-host RJ Sines.
Oh, hey.
We're your in-house comedy gurus who talk about what's funny, why it's funny, and what's the next iPhone app that they're going to turn into a movie.
Uber the movie.
The tagline could be, if you need to get from A to B, call on somebody you've never met. Not bad.
Not bad. What about another one?
How about Snapchat the movie?
10 seconds, then he's gone.
Starring Keanu Reeves.
And a ghost. Casper.
That's good.
That's a good duo.
Today we're talking about Jack Black, the musical comedian with a flair for the slapstick and the ridiculous. Guys, shout out to one of our fans for writing in this suggestion. This episode goes out to you, Samuel. You know who you are. But first, before we get into the goodness, RJ, take us through what's happening in the world of comedy.
Right. So I think in previous episodes, I had talked about the Deadpool movie, the director, Tim Miller. He's out of there.
He's out.
Yeah. And they're directorless in Seattle. Well, now Drew Goddard has decided to take up the helm for Deadpool 2.
All right.
And Ben, you might be sitting there saying, I don't know who Drew Goddard is.
I actually do.
And now you know who Drew Goddard is because I'm going to tell you who
he is. Please tell me.
He was a writer for Lost, Daredevil, World War Z, The Martian, or is it just Martian? The movie with...
I think it's The Martian.
The Martian?
I think so.
The Martian? Or is just that, Martian?
Is that Daredevil the Netflix series or Daredevil the 2002 hit with Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck?
Oof. I wish it was the one with Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner. This is the very successful Netflix series
that's gotten two seasons
already. So he's going to be directing now. What's interesting, though, is it's you know, these kinds of bigger blockbustery epic movies.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to be doing Deadpool 2, which originally, I think Tim Miller was trying to push for a bigger budget. And that was like a part of the creative differences that led him away from Ryan Reynolds.
Okay.
So now I'm just kind of confused. Like they bring in Drew Goddard. Is he supposed to like agree on how the movie should look and shouldn't look, but he only does like really big things? Like, is he going to bring the comedy to Deadpool that we need?
Yeah.
Does he know the genre?
I don't know. I mean, I'm a big fan of him purely because of Lost.
Yeah.
And because I love that show and it's super well written, but I don't know. I mean, obviously those two genres are different and they don't translate to each other, but I think, you know, he can bring the good writing and maybe Ryan Reynolds can bring the, you know, Deadpoolian winking at the audience and slapstick and profanity jokes.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see. Apparently, not only are they so set on this director with Drew, but they're going to start filming early 2017.
Wow.
Which is just around the corner.
They're putting their eggs in the baskets.
They're putting their Christmas lights up. They are ready for a Deadpool-y holiday.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Side note, I just saw someone around the corner. And granted, it was like just last weekend, like November 3rd, and there was a house that it was at nighttime, had its Christmas lights already lit up and a Christmas wreath to match. It wasn't like they just said, oh, we had some time, we put the lights up.
No,
they're lit up. They got the wreath. They got Santa out front. A little too soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
No comment at all.
I mean, yeah.
I just want to throw it out there. Just maybe something for you to sit on. You're at home, you're like, man, really excited for Christmas. But are you so excited that you're putting Christmas lights up? This is taken to the next level.
I think the lesson is just that people are nut jobs.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't even get the whole, like, let me stick an inflatable snowman in my front lawn because I'm festive.
And that's the podcast, everyone. Thanks for coming.
Good night. See you next week.
Okay. You're right on, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Christmas. TV news. Saturday Night Live is going to have Dave Chappelle host for the first time ever. And yes, you heard me say that correctly. Dave Chappelle will be hosting Saturday Night Live for the first time ever. Can you believe he's never hosted?
Yes and no. I mean, I associate him so much with sketch comedy.
He is, yeah.
But
so much of that.
His sketch comedy, do you know? Like, it's really his sketch comedy is pretty off brand for SNL. He likes a lot more raunchy slash like pushing the edge a little bit.
Well, and it's not SNL sketch comedy for the most part is very cookie cutter rule book sketch comedy, sure. Right? You know, Dave Chappelle on the Chappelle Show does a lot of, you're right, off-brand, sometimes raunchy jokes, but more, he just doesn't go by the rules.
Right.
And a lot of that stuff is very funny. He's made a whole name for himself in more ways than one. But for me, I guess I didn't know if you knew any backstory. I couldn't find anything as to why he had or hadn't been invited.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the Chappelle Show was pretty successful for a while, and he was doing that. It wasn't like he had, you know, a movie that came out where he could promote it and host.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I
but
don't
it's
know.
Not like he was rivaling SNL at the time either, because it was his own thing. I mean, it's just
in the same way of like, there's a lot of famous actors like Michael Douglas has only hosted once.
Yeah, I guess for me, it's like the best hosts of Saturday Night Live are comedic, you know, legends or icons or
and Dave
presences.
Chappelle is that.
And Dave Chappelle is 100% that. So for me, it was kind of like interesting, like it just clicked. I saw the news and I was like, oh my gosh, like how has this not happened yet? He's going to be performing with a Tribe Called Quest. Also, they haven't had an album in like 18 years and they're just going to be there and release their new album too. So, you know, it's a lot of firsts. So it's never too late to be on SNL.
Good on Dave Chappelle.
Yeah. Good on you, Dave.
Davey. We know that he listens.
Yeah. Big fan.
We're close, so we can call him Davey.
Davey Crockett.
But since you said Davey, that means it's time for the show. We're talking about Jack Black this episode. Ladies and gentlemen, let me give you a little intro on who he is. He wasn't always the front man that we know and love today. Jack Black started out with some small parts on TV, working along future co-stars such as Ben Stiller, Owen Wilson. In the early 2000s, he had breakout roles in movies like High Fidelity, Saving Silverman, Orange County, Shallow Hal. But in 2003, Jack came into his own, solidifying his place at the head of the comedy table, playing Dewey Finn in his movie, School of Rock.
Let there be rock. Ugh. And let there be Jack Black.
Yeah. So that's kind of his little rise to fame. It's like a slow train that hits you in the face. He's kind of a long time coming, but at the same time, you're like, he kind of came out of nowhere.
He kind
of
did.
It's a little bit of both.
He's a little bit of here, a little bit of there. But by the time School of Rock like happened, it was just like, oh my gosh, like he is this star. Uh-huh. He is this mega star. He was, you know, on late night shows doing bits. He was, you know, on the Grammy and Emmy shows, like, you know, doing bits with Will Ferrell or whatever. And America ate him up.
Yeah.
He's seriously is one of the funniest comedic actors right now. And he's got the chops to prove it.
Yeah.
And that's why we're here today, man.
Oh, yeah. But here's the question. Why is he funny?
Oh.
Let me bring it. Jack Black is this beautiful combination of physical and musical comedy, drawing from such past influences as John Belushi, Chris Farley, even the Three Stooges. Jack Black can be rough and tumble, like big and a massive presence, like a bull in a china shop. But at the same time, he can be witty and quick and dainty and just like a ballerina out there of just like mincing his words. Like physically even just like light on his feet. Like I love so many of the times in Nacho Libre where it's just like he's this powerful like ballerina. Like it's so good.
He's so light on his feet.
But he just goes absurd and just delivers deadly jokes and contrasts normal life and craziness and even does it in song.
Oh yeah. Some of the like you think of some of the best Jack Black moments on screen, and I guarantee you in those top five moments involve him singing a song or even doing a line a little bit as a song. He's one of my favorite comedic actors, especially because the way he is so melodious in the way he speaks, his lines are very beautifully sounding in a lot of ways. And you know, I think especially in School of Rock, it's a movie about music in a lot of ways, and he just shines through that in so many ways.
Yeah. An interesting side note on School of Rock, the writer of the movie, Mike White, was neighbors with Jack Black for a little while in L.A. when they were young, trying to get their start. They worked together on the movie Orange County. Mm-hmm. Jack Black is like the brother junkie,
right,
kind of side role. See, that's I think that's
John Cusack's in that.
No, that's High Fidelity.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Colin Hanks is in Orange County. I think that goes to his like slow rise, yet like out of nowhere. He was a lot of like the side role.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Always.
Enemy of the State, High Fidelity. You know, all of those roles were just like the other person.
Right.
It was the main person, and then he was the friend.
He was the person who said, "Oh, I've seen him in that other movie."
Yeah, yeah.
That was, you know, his role for a long time. But it's interesting is he's considered a part of the frat pack,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Which for some of you who have not heard of the frat pack before, it's a play on what was considered the Rat Pack of the 1960s. You know, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., and now they decided to coin the phrase.
Even before that, they had the Brat Pack.
Right.
80s and 90s. You got Charlie Sheen, Emilio Estevez, Judd Nelson. But you had Rat Pack, then you had the Brat Pack, and now you have the Frat Pack. This is like early 2000s.
Yeah, and this is Will Ferrell, Ben Stiller, Owen Wilson, Luke Wilson, Vince Vaughn. Like, if you think of the fight scene in Anchorman,
yeah.
That is the Frat Pack.
Yeah.
You know, these guys that, you know, they're cameo in each other's movies. They co-star alongside each other. They write and direct each other's own movies. Like, these guys they kind of all started working together in so many different projects. And Jack Black is now considered a part of the Frat Pack, or was, especially once he started, you know, because he worked with Ben Stiller early on and even Owen Wilson. So those kinds of side roles got him a place at that table for sure.
But yeah, so I don't even remember what my original point was, but he had all those side roles, and now School of Rock. Oh yeah, the Mike White story. This role was literally written for him. So him and Mike White were friends that worked in Orange County, and Jack Black said, "Hey, can you write a role specifically with me in mind?" And mm-hmm. and Mike White said, "Okay, I'm going to do that." So this character was literally like musical. Over the top, lazy, yet a go-getter, and physical, and like kind of dumb luck.
Kung Fu Panda.
Exactly, yeah. I think it's so funny that is so successful for him, because he is kind of a big panda, right?
He is Kung Fu Panda.
Huh. Like a just fall backwards into glory panda.
Yeah. He had it hidden within him all
along.
Do you
think like the executives at DreamWorks were like, "Okay, so we got Jack Black for it signed on. How would you describe him? Like, I don't know, like a
some kind of I don't know, platypus or
no, it's not bigger, maybe more fuzzy.
A mallard or some kind of, you know, kung fu chicken."
We're close. Like maybe a kung fu panda.
Not kung fu hippo?
No.
Hippo didn't test well with the market audiences.
I think it's too offensive.
Yeah. Because like you could, if you called someone a hippo, they could be offended. But if you called someone a panda, they'd be like, "Ah, okay."
Yeah, they're endangered. They're
pandas,
huggable.
Lovable.
They're funny when they sneeze.
Pandas, lovable.
The hippo, movie.
Yeah. Hippos, you're fat. That's basically the tagline for animals. I'm working on a side podcast.
We're spending way too much time on this.
Do taglines of animals.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
But we're not going to listen to that. just kidding. but yeah, so this is his role. He fully steps into it and knocks it out of the park. School of Rock, beloved by everyone. Jack Black all of a sudden becomes somebody who can hold his own as the lead of a movie.
Yeah. And like you were saying, the director wrote that role specifically to tailor to his comedic abilities.
But let's get into physical comedy for Jack Black.
Yeah.
Looking at all of his filmography, like best physical moments.
Yeah. when I think of Jack Black's physical comedy, like we said earlier, we think a lot about the Chris Farleys or the John Belushis or even Three Stooges. He puts his body on the line, and it's just it almost looks like he doesn't get hurt, because I feel like there isn't a lot of time spent on screen where Jack Black's, that really hurt. Like, he'll just throw himself down a flight of stairs. He'll belly flop onto some ground.
He really is cartoonish.
Yes.
In that he's unbreakable.
Yes. He's like Putty almost, or I don't know. I think of that. What's that superhero in the X-Men universe? Blob.
Yeah, the Blob, yeah.
He's not as big as Blob, obviously, but he's just like impenetrable.
And it's like calling someone a hippo.
Oh, man, no, that's messed up. I would never do that. Don't even go there. That's sick. Get that out of here, man. It's okay. Messed up.
Sorry. But yeah, like, I feel like he's so successful in his physical, like, over-the-topness and his physical subtleties, too.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got so many different facial expressions and just, like reactions and just little subtle, like some of the funniest things that he does. Him and is it Leonard, the keyboardist, when he's like doing the high five, let's rock today. Like, even his fingers are the funny Jack Black character of like and then little Leonard is like
sharp precise movements,
yeah,
well executed motion. This is Jack Black's physical comedy. He's not, Jim Carrey's not as, he's definitely noodly, but I mean, Jack Black is almost in that same realm. Like, everything is precise and he's moving his arms. And he can't see me in the studio right now, but I'm really going crazy. he's got those Jack Nicholson eyebrows. I really want to make a point to talk about this. He's got the Jack brows.
Also very John Belushi-esque.
Yeah.
Of just like, be able to whip his eyebrows around.
Which some people would say Jack is a nickname for someone named John. So if you think about it, these are the Jack brows. Maybe you know someone named Jack and you realize now, oh, he has eyebrows that dance on his forehead. Well, you should see a doctor. This is called Jack brow syndrome.
Wow.
All Jacks have them. And they're pretty funny.
Or maybe you got slipped some drugs and now you're seeing people's eyebrows dance.
Maybe you should see a doctor for other reasons.
Yeah. I want to give a little correction. Lawrence is the name of the keyboarder, not whatever I said.
What did you say?
Larry.
I could have sworn you said Lawrence.
Did I say Lawrence?
I swore you did. You know what? There's no way we'll ever know. It's fine.
It's not recorded.
Past is in the past.
I forgot to push record.
But
yeah, talk about physical comedy in Nacho Libre. I mean, this is really where he was utilized for his over-the-top physical comedy. Even, honestly, I think they even looked at his body shape and were like, we're going to put you in a, like, Mexican wrestling.
Yeah, he is luchador material to a team. Well, washout luchador material, no less.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I think of the scene where he's trying to get eagle powers. And he climbs to the top of the rock on the cliffside of an ocean. And he's, like, struggling so much. And he's, like, got a cape. And he's, like, shirtless. And he's, like, climbing up this cliffside. And he cracks open, like, this eagle egg or whatever. And he's, like,
drinking
it raw. And he's so tired. And he's, like, holding it. And then he, like, turns around to face the water. And he's just, like, looking. And he, like... holds his hands up as if to dive, and just falls straight down, like flailing, and his cape's going everywhere, and just pow, just belly flops into the water. And then later, those eagle eggs were a lie, Steven. A lie,
Esteban.
They give me no eagle powers, they give me no nutrients.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
so good.
Yeah, so his physical comedy is unparalleled, and Nacho Libre adequately showcases that. I think that's definitely one of his most popular films, which is interesting. We just talked about
callback to Napoleon Dynamite,
the director Jared Hess. He also directed Nacho Libre, so it's in that very same vein, like subtle, like boring, but like you have these characters that just have this ridiculous persona.
It's a big budget release. It's not a big budget movie. It's a like a big release movie, mm-hmm. big blockbuster. But it has the persona of a student film of right. like a indie film.
Definitely,
I love like this is totally sidetrack of Jack Black, but just Jared Hess. His style in Nacho Libre, especially he does it a touch in Napoleon Dynamite, but more so in Nacho Libre. Just long shots of people's face, like just like, and not like necessarily like the most attractive person,
no way,
but not necessarily like just quirky individuals,
yeah,
and just fixing on their face, like you think of the farmer scene in Napoleon Dynamite, and also just most of the ringside scenes in yep. in Nacho Libre.
Cut to some old dude with some corn, like no teeth,
yeah, but that also goes into a lot of the parts that Jack Black plays where he's just having conversations with a lot of the other people in the monastery, and it's just like, can I invite you back to my quarters after we say our graces?
For did some you, toast.
Did you know I had diarrhea since Easter's?
Oh, just like the bishop,
subtle,
yeah.
Just like good dialogue, authentic characters, but then double persona and over-the-top wrestler.
Well, that's the thing. Physical comedy, what better physical comedy could there be for Jack Black other than a luchador wrestler? Right. Like, you think of School of Rock, like, he had a lot of physical comedy, you know, in the sense that, like, he's dancing, he's a rock and roll guy, turned teacher, mm-hmm. turned rock and roll guy again, and then now in Nacho Libre, like, what better role to showcase how ridiculous and over the top his antics can be? He's jumping off of, like, sideboards, he's getting put into weird, like, contortions and going,
yeah.
release, oh! He's, like, getting punched by really weird wrestlers. Oh my gosh. And you kind of started talking about it a little bit, but his timing.
Yeah.
I really want to focus on this. The timing that Jack Black has, and it's something that we talk about on the podcast, but I don't think we could talk about it enough, because the way Jack Black does timing, it's not like he's a stand-up comedian waiting for the punchline. The timing, like the cadence, the way he says things. The line that I would like to specifically point out is from School of Rock, where it's a scene that cuts to him in the teacher's lounge.
Yeah.
And it's right away. He starts off as if it's in the middle of a conversation. And he's like, so anyways, I nailed the dish, but I didn't get it. You know who did? Yo-Yo Ma's cousin.
Little Nepetiz.
That line, it's not, it's the timing of it.
Yeah.
The way it's said is so sing-songy, melodious, perfectly placed, periods, yeah. punctuation.
But I didn't get it.
But
you know who did?
Yo-Yo Ma's cousin.
Yeah, you're so right.
Little Nepetiz. His abbreviations, too.
Yeah.
I think that works with his timing. Because if he said, Little Nepetism...
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't sound nearly as good. His abbreves
yeah.
when he'll do that.
You can tell, you really buy into the fact that this guy doesn't know what the heck he's talking about. He's really just faking his way through that, because he's like, people ask him, like, so what standardized tests do you prefer? And he's like, you know what? I just like to let the kids, you know, teach me how to teach them. It's like, what? But they're buying into it. Like,
right,
he's confidently
right.
saying it. Oh,
yeah.
So funny.
And that's another thing that he has.
That's timing. That's perfect timing.
His timing plays into a lot of his confidence as a character.
Uh-huh.
So many of his characters have this confidence from within, even if they're out of their element.
Yeah.
So he'll say things with gusto and strength and certainty, even though, like, you can see in his face, like, he's got, like, this disgruntled, like, I have
yeah,
no idea what I'm saying.
Eyebrows going back and forth.
That's my eyebrows going
another
back
perfect
and forth.
Little timing moment in School of Rock is another teacher's lounge scene. He's not even saying anything. He's making a coffee. And then Joan Cusack, her character is the principal, and she's saying, so parent-teacher conference night will be tomorrow night. And then, just perfectly, without missing a beat, she finishes that sentence, and he spills the coffee on himself,
yeah.
burns himself. He's like, totally showing that he's unprepared and frightened out of his mind, but he's burned himself. Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah, so, I mean, with his physical comedy, with his lines, the timing, the beats of it all, like, sync up so well with the way he's trying to sell these jokes. Another thing that comes to mind for me is even the timing that he'll be placed in mm-hmm. certain movies. One of my favorite cameos he's in is in Anchorman.
Yes.
Right? And he's the motorcycle road rider. One of those road riders. He's on a motorcycle, and it's, you know, Ron Burgundy's like, "This burrito is good, but it is filling." And he just hucks it out the window.
Without even looking,
just hucks it to the left of him, and it hits Jack. Wow, wow, wow! He spins off to the side.
Bites it.
He just bites it and ruins his bike, and he pulls over. Like, what the hell, bro?
I love that interaction. He's like full, like, just jerk. He just crashed, and it's totally his fault. And he's like, "Well, now this is happening, bro." Like, he just owns that.
You ruined something I'm gonna love. That I love.
You wrecked my hog, man.
Now this is happening. He punts Baxter over the bridge, and again, I think like the timing of inserting his like style of comedy in there, like his presence in that movie, is so funny and so well placed. Yeah. I love that moment.
And it's a character that he's established in his real life, like with just like interviews, documentaries, little like even Tenacious D, like his like persona that he puts out there, even when he's not being a character, is this like sharp attitude, kind of like, "I'm the best at everything, and that's because I'm the best."
And
making a quick joke about why you think I'm not the best. Like, I'm of course I'm the best. Tenacious D, it's just two 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds now.
Yeah.
Like, just playing acoustic guitars. Like,
they're not rock gods.
They're not rock gods, but they own it. They become rock gods.
Totally.
And like, there's a an MTV documentary that he made that's in the bonus features of School of Rock. Wow. My family was so obsessed with this movie. We watched the deep cut bonus features. It's like not even like special features. It's like the second chapter of a special feature.
You got to peel back a layer of the DVD in order to reach
spit on it, rub it.
Yeah.
Yeah, your dog has to chew on it a little bit. But it's so good. It's this documentary of like, it says the day in the life of Jack Black while filming School of Rock. Mm-hmm. And so it starts with one of my favorite lines that I say in daily life. He goes, it's 2:30 in the afternoon and he's just rolling out of bed. And he goes, "I would say I'm a morning person in that I sleep in the morning." And then it's him and he's like, "Oh, I'm late. I'm late. I can't believe I'm late." And he just takes off all his clothes, like, oh right, gosh, in front of the camera crew. And then it's like it following through him throughout his day. But he is quick and quippy, and he's got that timing.
Yeah, and they take that timing, and it's, I mean, we know Jack Black is so famous for his physical roles, but they just took his voice and put it in a panda.
Yeah.
And made a successful franchise out of that. It's one of the most popular DreamWorks movies since Shrek is Kung Fu Panda 1, 2, and 3. And it's Jack Black's voice. And yeah, it's a panda bouncing around with a bunch of other animals doing karate. But it's not like it's Jack Black doing it. Like, it's Jack Black going, "Bah, woo,
yeah,
wah, woo,
skadoosh."
Yeah,
like, he's just owning his little...
Yeah,
his
totally.
Little just isms that he just exudes.
And that's just... It's only his voice. And that's all you need sometimes.
Which really, I feel like... his timing has been born out of his musicality, right? Because he like has this natural just inkling for taking any role that he's in and then interjecting some music in it. Even in Nacho Libre, like the driest little role of, it has nothing to do with music.
Right.
But he makes like, "Incarnación."
Yes, like, my favorite. I'm sorry, I have to interject favorite thing in that whole sing song, because it's like he's not a singer in that movie. They don't really establish it. He sings a couple times, but they like have to do this improv song because he sneaks into the party and he's "I am singing at the party." And he's like super unsure of himself. I am a singing. It's my turn to sing at the party. Everyone is dancing. Happy party. And he just goes on and he's like making up this song about Ramses, the super macho luchador. And that part just kills me because it's still so much of Jack Black just making it up, using his timing, like his musical prowess in a character that clearly has very little. And that's the thing, like, you know, he is Tenacious D. He has that musical knack. And I think you're right. He's like a human metronome in a way for comedy.
Yeah.
He knows falling down the stairs this way will sound funnier.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I make this sound, the billy lily lily lily, those kinds of things, like, add just that much more cartoony Looney Tunes.
Especially, I mean, the role that was written for him in School of Rock, he's just like, he's doing fake solos. I'm gonna take a solo right here. Like, he totally just owns that so hard.
Absolutely.
So we've seen Jack Black successful in so many roles, but at the same time, he has some kind of bombs in there, and we need to get into why and when is he not funny.
Right, we need to.
So he has some of these roles like Envy,
Ooh, boy.
Year One,
Ooh, boy.
Gulliver's Travels,
Ooh, boy.
And then kind of on the fence is his band's movie, Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny. But okay, so why is he unsuccessful in Envy? Like, some of these roles, that, especially Envy came out right after School of Rock.
Yeah.
He was riding high, and he was like, okay, I'm going to do one with Ben Stiller. They kind of shared the lead on that. When why was it
Why doesn't it work? The same reason it does work. If he's put in a role that isn't necessarily built for him, he can only bring so much to it. Like, if he's limited in his physical comedy, if he's limited in the way he can be the like kind of a guy, over the top nonsense silly man, like, it's not going to translate as well, no matter how well it's written.
Right.
I mean, what do you think? Some of these movies,
it has to make sense for the story. His role has to make sense inside of that. So he brings over the top physical comedy, some musicality, you know, this sharp timing, which obviously sharp timing is useful for anything, but those things have to function well within the story. And I think especially for Envy, he's just like the neighbor who dumb luck kind of falls into this great invention. I think it's called Poo-Gon.
Okay.
Where it's like, once your dog takes a crap, you spray it over it.
Oh yeah.
And it like dissipates, or it smells good. I can't remember, but yeah, just like, you know, Ben Stiller's playing the like hard luck kid who he wants to be an inventor, but this guy fell into it and he's got all this money, and it's just not good. Like, mm-hmm. Jack Black, I feel like he hurts the movie in this, because he is doing his character over the top, sort of brings some musicality to it, but it's just unwarranted. It's not, doesn't fit the story.
Yeah. No,
and
totally
also I think it lacks subtlety. School of Rock, Nacho Libre, especially, so much subtlety in his character.
Okay, yeah, I get that.
And especially Year One, Envy, and Gulliver's Travels, I think, is a little bit him trying to branch into a new genre, a new thing.
Yeah,
and it fell flat.
And that's kind of how I felt about, I mean, maybe you disagree, Bernie. I think that was 2011. He's a completely different character. You know, the movie in and of itself, I don't think is a bad movie. But Jack Black isn't his funniest in Bernie.
Well, it's not really a comedy. I mean, it's...
it's pretty dark.
It's a murder story.
It's a murder story. But that's... And you know, maybe... I think I watched it with the intent, like, oh, Jack Black. It's his silly face on this poster. What do you think I'm going to get? Silly face Jack Black.
Right.
It wasn't really that. And again, maybe I went in with mixed expectations, but ultimately, I'll still say it wasn't him at his funniest, because that's not like his typical shtick.
Well, yeah, it's definitely not a comedy, but he that character is quirky.
He's so.
And so I think that's why they said, oh, Jack Black would be good, because he's a quirky individual. But it's not necessarily the whole overarching story is pretty dark.
Yeah, and I mean, kind of along these lines, we see him almost mirror some of his lesser known or worse roles in Tropic Thunder. right? Yeah. He plays kind of the washed up comedic star who has done like the farts to whatever. No, what's it called?
It's the Fatsos or Fatsos? I think it's Fatsos.
Fatsos, Fart 2.
Fart 2.
Yeah, and it's like he plays this character who's trying to revitalize his career. He's been this comedic icon, and he's done like all the generic, like stupid comedies, and he's, you know, doesn't have anything left. He's got a
super addicted to cocaine.
Super addicted to cocaine. Like, so erratic.
Which actually kind of mirrors his personal life, too. He had some drug struggles.
Yeah, and that's why I think this movie was written, I mean, that role was written for him. He was really funny, and also he was able to shed some light on some insecurities he has in his failings.
Yeah.
You know, just doing the generic kind of like, oh, whatever, do whatever kind of a comedy just for money, just to make laughs, and it's not really specifically for him.
Which, I mean, each one of kind of the main characters are doing that. Robert Downey Jr. is making fun of the
method actor.
Yeah, completely committed actor who's sold into all of his roles so much.
Right.
Ben Stiller is like the Sylvester Stallone who's making the same movie 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
The who else? Jack Black's doing, you know, the comedian who's washed up and just relying on doing fart jokes and just the same thing over again. So yeah, I think a lot of those characters are tropes.
Mm-hmm.
So he and fits so into that.
It's a good commentary. And I think it's even nice to see Jack Black acknowledging, like, yeah, maybe Year One wasn't the best movie that I could do. Which, I'm not looking at the filmography. I think Year One might have actually come out after Tropic Thunder. Can we double check that?
Yeah, I'm going to fact.
Here in the studio audience, can you double check that?
Studio audience?
Yeah.
You just mean our producer, Jim Dillard?
Jim Dillard? That's James Dillard.
Oh, I'm so sorry, James. Sir James Dillard?
Sir James Dillard. Yeah, and I think where he, along lines of not funny, the movie Tenacious D, Pick of Destiny isn't necessarily his funniest. And that's a weird thing for me, because I really do enjoy a lot of the Tenacious D music. Him and Kyle Gass, you know, like you said, these two dudes with acoustic guitars really own it.
Yeah.
And they make some funny music. I mean,
and they're actually good.
Yeah, it's good music, like good textbook music, rock and roll. A lot of homage to a lot of the greats and the classics.
Year One came out after Tropic Thunder.
Oof. So he sets himself, so to rewind.
But Envy definitely came out before Tropic Thunder, so he's making fun of himself.
So he can make fun of himself, but then falls right back into the same old shtick. Which, you know what? You know, again, I think I said this about Tyler Perry last time. These guys are making millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Who am I to say I don't know, you know, that they made the right choice or the wrong choice? They're making so much stupid money.
So out of some of the ones that we've talked, other than School of Rock, what would you say your favorite Jack Black role is?
For me, I think it's because I keep trying to be objective about my favorites, but at the same time, like, it really is my favorite role to see him as Nacho Ignacio in Nacho Libre.
Yeah,
just this guy down on his luck, trying to be something better, trying to prove everyone wrong, and just getting beat up, you know, chewed out. The brothers, they don't think I know a buttload of crap about the gospel, but I do. Like, he just makes me laugh, and I think in so many different ways, just his outfits with the sweats and like the jewelry.
Sometimes he put on his stretchy pants.
Beneath the clothes, you find a man. And beneath the man, you find his nucleus. That's like my favorite line of classic all Jack Black.
Perfect timing.
You find his nucleus. When have you ever heard someone say nucleus in a comedy? That kills me. What is your favorite role?
Also, I still to this day will go, get that corn out of my face!
Get that corn out of my face! You say, get that corn out of my face, or save me a piece of that. He's getting ready to warm up, and there's some like weird old dude eating some corn. He's like, hey, you, save me a piece of that corn. Save me a piece of that corn for later. And he's just like trying to warm up the crowd, and everyone's like, what the hell?
So good.
So that it's like my favorite role to see him in. Like I said, like we said this before, it really showcases a lot that he has as a comedic actor.
For me, I got to go with kind of more of an indie role for him. Be Kind, Rewind. It's just this fun little flick with him and Mos Def. They work at a video store in like sort of the dying age of video, mm-hmm. and then they try and revitalize it. It's super fun.
It's so good. Yeah. It's one of my favorite movies in general. Not just Jack Black roles, just favorite movies. It's a movie for movie lovers.
Yeah, it's a good
time. If you love movies, you will definitely love this. And it's such a unique perspective, especially in the age of, there's no video stores around anymore. I think there's two Blockbusters still open. In the United States, yeah.
Probably.
So, anyways, super, super great movie. Gotta check it out.
Yeah, but that's what we got for Jack Black. We hope you enjoyed it. Now you know what time it is.
Ooh.
It's that time of the show for Ben's.
Wait. Wait for it.
What's up?
You've got some splaining to do.
Splaining?
Yeah.
What's up?
What are you doing with this theme song? I don't know. You got me going all over the place.
Yeah. Okay. Last week I changed it up just a touch.
That doesn't even count.
It didn't appease the you, but okay. I was inspired. I'm gonna make a couple, just different kind of tropes, soundscapes. It's more like wind chimes in the forest.
Is this like forever, or what are you talking about?
No. There's a bunch of different ones. Like, it's like rain sticks, but like set to dubstep. It's gonna be good.
Okay. I mean, I don't know if I buy it, but I'll listen to it for
sure. No. I'm being serious. I'm gonna change it up.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. It's time for Ben's Wacky Facts.
Wacky. Yeah, that's the same thing. There's not a different song at all.
Yeah. Okay, I'm so sorry. It was the wrong file. You're not going to believe me. It's okay. It doesn't matter. Ben's Wacky Facts is the time of the show where Ben will say some wacky facts, and then RJ will respond and retort in his best way he knows possible, rating them by putting them on the baseball field.
I don't put them on the baseball field.
Unless they're worth it.
Well, yeah. Put them in the dugout is where they belong.
Whoa. All right, RJ.
Sorry, they're all home runs.
Here's the facts. Jack Black learned to play the guitar when he was 25.
And that's wacky.
You cut me in half, man. Come on.
I couldn't wait.
He learned to play guitar when he was 25, and he was taught by Kyle Gass.
Oh, his partner in crime for Tenacious D.
How wacky is that?
That's pretty wacky.
That's whack.
That's like the guy going up to hit the ball for the Cubbies.
Yeah.
And just as he's about to hit, the catcher.
And here's the pitch.
The pitcher's like, this is a perfect pitch just for you. I've taught you everything I know. Now hit a home run.
The pitcher and the hitter on the same team?
Well, they're like best friends.
Okay, they're good friends.
Yeah, like best friends.
Okay, best.
And then he hits a home run.
Nice.
That's a sweet, wacky sweet setup. Fact.
Sweet fact.
Sweet facty.
All right.
Next.
There you go. That one's free. Here's another free one. His parents were both rocket scientists. His mother even worked on the Hubble telescope.
What?
Yep. Nope. It's true. Look it up on internet.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Is that my new catchphrase? Is that your new catchphrase?
Look it up on internet?
Look it up on internet.
Yeah.
Let's just shorten it.
I love talking about internet like it's a person.
Look it up.
Internet.
Yours is internet and mine is look it up. Look it up.
We can't create our own catchphrases.
Fine. I'm creating your catchphrase.
Okay. Yours is look it up.
And yours is internet.
Okay.
We don't have to say it at the same time, but it's just like, and this is Ben Harris.
Internet.
And this is RJ Signs. Look it up.
Where are we being introduced? What is going on? What is
if we
this?
Ever have to introduce ourselves on a podcast or something.
Okay. We'll do that.
Yeah.
Cool.
This is a wacky fact.
Oh, thanks. Oh, yeah. Put it on the baseball field,
Put
please.
It on the baseball field.
Please.
That's space ball. Whoa.
Space balls?
Space ball.
Space singular ball.
It's like, it's a play on words. Space ball and baseball.
Oh, okay.
So it's like a moon home run.
Okay.
For space ball.
We're playing wacky space balls.
Space ball. It's not plural. It's singular. Space ball. So it's like a B So S-B-A-S-E.
It wouldn't be hard to hit a home run on the moon because there's only like half gravity.
Exactly what I'm saying. That's an easy home run for that fact.
Cool, cool, cool. You could have just said that. Here's my favorite one. Are you ready for wacky fact number 3?
All right.
This is pretty unconfirmed. I found it on 2 different websites, but that's not enough for me. I like 3. But this is really funny. As a kid, he would often hide wires in his clothes, and then at school, he would accidentally let them fall out, giving others the impression that he was a robot.
What?
He would like hide wires in his clothes and then at school let them fall out and be like, oh, you weren't supposed to see that. And then run away.
He probably had so many wires because his parents were Hubble telescope scientists. That's a pretty funny bit.
That's so good.
I love self-bits.
I wish I knew Jack in high school.
Can we spend a whole podcast talking about self-bits?
What's a self-bit?
A self-bit is a joke that you make just for yourself. Like when I'm at a restaurant and the waiter hands me like the little bill and instead I grab the wine menu and I look at it. And I'm like, oh my, who ordered all this wine?
I don't remember buying this. That's good.
Who kept buying all this wine? Oh my gosh, I don't remember that. It's a self bit. It's a joke for myself.
Okay.
So I like that. The self bit wire joke.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
You're
going
to do the wire joke at work?
I'm going to do the wire joke at work. I'm going to do the wire joke in church. I'm going to do the wire joke. Just with you and me. You're not even going to remember this part.
Cool, cool, cool.
You're like, where are those wires going out?
I'm confident you're not a robot.
Haha. Of course I'm not.
That's the facts. That's what I got for facts. So after facts means it's time for hashtag whale mail of the shweek.
Nice. Oh, for some reason I was anticipating like the same. You've like Pavlov's dog me to
little different
to be like depressed for whenever a song or sound is coming up. This week's whale mail reads, hey guys, I just wanted to say I love the show. Last week I had a 2-hour drive and listened to you guys the whole time. Thanks for the entertainment. Okay, bye, Chris. Okay, bye, Chris. Well,
punctuation is a little lacking.
A little lacking there. But is his name Chris, or does he think we're called Chris?
Okay, bye, Chris.
Okay, bye, Chris.
Maybe he was dictating this, and he wasn't. He was talking to some guy named Chris, and it picked it up, and then it sent it.
So he's like telling Siri, write this email, and in the middle of it, he's like, okay, bye, Chris.
Yeah, send.
Send. Message sent.
Oh, shoot, I sent it.
Calling Dad. No, dang it,
God
there.
Dang it.
Thanks, Chris. If that was your name.
If that's your name, Chris.
We'll call you K by Chris.
K by
Chris. K by Chris. A new fragrance for uncertainty and punctuation.
No, but seriously, that's awesome. I love that. Road trip. We're good for your ears.
Hopefully. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm glad to see that people are writing in and telling us this.
We appreciate it, man. If you guys have any other questions, you can email in. RJ, where can they email?
You can email us at whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com. We've already had some great people write in. We had Samuel write into us requesting we talk about Jack Black.
Yeah.
Which is just awesome proof that, you know, you could send in something and we could do it eventually.
Affects us, yeah.
And somewhere at least got us to talk about this. Like, yeah, Jack Black, it's in a fan demand. We should definitely push this up on our timetable. Yeah. So
we'd like to say thanks to Sam.
Yeah. Huge shout out. Huge shout out. Thanks for reaching out to us.
But if people want to find us, RJ, where do they go?
You can find us on the iTunes podcast app, Google Play, or Stitcher. Be sure to check out our Twitter page at WhalePod or our Facebook page, Why Am I Laughing? And again, the email is whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter at Rodolfo the Brown. You can find Ben at Basset Hound Daddy. Thanks for tuning in this week. Thank you, bensound.com, for the theme music. And guys listening at home, make sure you... Well, don't make sure. But if you were listening to this and you think, I wish I could contribute actual dollars to this podcast, I'll tell you, you don't have to, because it's not worth a cent. But it is worth an iTunes rating.
Yeah.
So help me. It's like pennies on the dollar for... currency transactions.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
A rating helps. You know what else helps? Go tell your friends. Go up to your friend and say, hey, Basset Hound Daddy went and told me to tell you, you gotta listen to Why Am I Laughing Pod.
Look it up!
Nice. Internet. With a Z.
With a Z. Is that it? That's your only modification? Alex, I'll allow it.
That's good. Be sure to be checking back with us every Wednesday for new Why Am I Laughing episodes. For us, we're signing off. We're going to leave you with comedy is always and will forever be about.
Look it up!
Time. Internet. Time.